This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia rana.
Guten Tag.
Anaseyo. Bangap simnida.
Bula.
Ukhana.
Ni hao.
Kia ora.
Hamilton is one of the fastest growing cities in Aotearoa. It's home to 190,000 people from over 170 different ethnicities. The New Wave podcast is on a mission to capture these unique stories, one person and one culture at a time. Join us for season one. This is The New Wave. Algie van Tonde grew up surrounded by nature in a close-knit community in the High Veld of South Africa. His family worked hard running their business, but as the years progressed, increasing violence affected their sense of safety and well-being. By the time he was in his early 20s, the family had made their decision. They headed to New Zealand, where a new and very different life awaited them. I'm Kate Prestige. This is Algie's story.
My name is Algie van Tonde, and I come from South Africa. My name is Algie van Tonde, and I come from South Africa. My name is not a very common South African name, and the reason why I prefer people calling me Algie because it has exactly the same meaning in Afrikaans that it does in English. I was named after my granddad, so my granddad's initials was Algie, so my parents just decided to call me Algie. In Afrikaans, you just say it as Algie. When we came to New Zealand, people couldn't say my name because of the hard sound. So it always came out as Algie, Algie, and I hate that. I absolutely hate that. And so I just said, hey, you know what? Just call me Algie. And that's how I introduced myself as well. Algie like the fridge. Algie is something that grows underwater. And I don't want to be associated with that. I'd rather be a fridge than a plant under the water.
Okay, I like that. There's our quote straight away. I'd rather be a fridge than a plant under the water. Tell us a little bit about where you were born and a bit about your hometown.
Okay, so I was born in Midrand area of South Africa, so it's in the middle, in a town called Vereniging. I think the name has changed since, but that's where I was born, and it's in the Free State, if you want to be specific. We lived there for a bit, and then my parents basically moved up north to the Bushveld, is what it's commonly known as. The things that you see in movies, you know, about what South Africa looks like, that's where I basically come from. So I grew up there in a very, very small town. If I talk small, 36 kids in our whole school. That's how small it was. And it was a place called Marken. Yeah, that's where I grew up.
What was life like growing up in that little town? And can you tell us a bit about, I guess, the culture, the food, the language?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think for me, but being a graphic designer and being a creative, I was a little bit of the odd one out in our community, but people are kind of like, they just accepted you for who you are. It was a very farming type of community, so a lot of hunters, people hunting and safaris and stuff like that, which, don't get me wrong, I love that. And it was great to be around this community that was so in love with nature and animals and just being out in the sun the whole day. That's basically the area that I grew up in. We had a service station, a little shop place, and so everyone would kind of like gather around there and just, we knew everyone. It was a large farming community, so it felt like a big, big family. And sometimes here in New Zealand, I do think that I kind of miss that. You know, I miss everyone knowing everyone's business, so yeah.
So it sounds like it was this close, sort of tight-knit, small community, yeah, where even though you didn't share some of the same kind of hobbies or enthusiasms as others, people enjoyed you as a person, as a kid, and your creativity.
Absolutely. Thinking about culture, every Saturday we had like a little general store. Every Saturday you would go there and people would serve pancakes or crepes. Every Saturday. So you would go and you would go buy crepes. And so that's one of the things that I remember every so often, especially when it rains. It's like a big thing. When it rains, crepes and cinnamon and sugar. That's it.
Did it rain often?
No. That's why it was like, it's pancake weather. That's what we called it. So
it was a treat.
Oh, well, definitely was. Definitely was. And we'd buy 30 crepes and just have that for morning tea.
Were there any, I guess, people who had an influence on you, or a person or an event that shaped those early years?
Family really shaped who I became. Not just me being a creative, but also me as a person. And I think because the whole community was so family-oriented, it kind of shaped the caregiving nature that I have. Going to church and Sunday school and all those kind of things were very much part of who we were in a community. Yeah. So I think that's kind of like what shaped me as the person that I am.
One of the things that, jumping ahead now, but one of the things that you are known for now is that you're a really good baker.
Oh, yes.
And you share that baking with your colleagues. So that's a really nice connection back to the pancakes.
I think so, yes. I think so. It's part of my nature and part of my culture, I think, as well, that we share and we give. And it can be really difficult sometimes here in New Zealand for people to understand that. Like, I love making coffee for people. I love making things and giving it. Kind of like a love language, I suppose. But every South African, I think, would have the same kind of quality. Or maybe it's just me being living in a small town as well. Yeah, everyone just gives. Yeah, you need something, we'll give it to you. Yeah.
That's cool. At some point, you've left South Africa because here you are, here with us. Can you tell us a little bit about that? How old were you when you made that decision, or did you make the decision yourself? Tell us about the circumstances and a little bit about yourself at the time that you decided to leave.
Okay, so it's I think you'll probably hear the same kind of story from a lot of South Africans living in New Zealand, but a big choice for us to move to New Zealand was based on the crime that we experienced in South Africa. So our whole family came over. Initially, my older brother came to New Zealand, and he was actually an IT engineer, and he came to become an IT engineer here in New Zealand, and couldn't find a job and eventually moved to Te Awamutu, found a job there as a farmer, and then kind of just that was his trajectory. And then a year later, me, mum and dad, and my younger brother, we came to New Zealand. I was 23 when we came over. So yeah, adolescent kind of stuff, but it was at the right time that we came over as well, because I could come over as a family, you know, get my visas and stuff as a family, so I won't be independent. So that's basically the reason why we came earlier as well. Reasons for us coming, again, like I said, crime. And because we lived in a rural town and we had quite a big shop kind of situation. We had a service station, we had a liquor store, a supermarket, and our house was right behind it as well, which we built from scratch. Me and my dad, us as a family, we literally would build it ourselves. And so what happened with the service station, people mainly just use cash in South Africa. They don't use, if possible, Visa or debit cards. So we had a lot of cash in our possession, and we were about 70 kilometers away from the closest town. So we couldn't go to the bank and bank it every day. So what we ended up getting was an ATM. And we would put the money in the ATM, and that was a great, great way for us to get the money out. What started to happen was people would put explosives on the ATM and blow it up, and it became very dangerous for us to live there. Obviously, they couldn't get anything out of the ATM. And then there was a period that some person called my dad every single night saying that they're going to come and they're going to come kill us. And that was kind of like the starting point for us to, like, we need to get out. And these loads of stories like that. I remember there was one time that me and my younger brother, and I was probably like 13, 14 at the time, we were alone at home, and the phone started ringing every 10 minutes from 6 o'clock in the morning. Every 10 minutes, the phone would ring. I would get to the phone, answer it, and I would just hear breathing and didn't know what it was. And then finally at around sometime in the afternoon, like 11 or 12 o'clock, answered the phone. And as a 13-year-old kid, this person just responded, "We are going to come and kill you tonight." And I was alone at home. I was scared out of my mind when this was happening. So it would go for a month. Every night this person would call and be like, "We're going to come and attack your family, attack your family." It got to the point where we each had a gun next to our beds. So if something were to happen, we were ready. My dad had an AK-47. Next to him on the floor, and we had these beetles that would fly around, big giant beetles. As soon as it would fall on the roof, because we had like sink roofs. As soon as it would fall on the roof, it would just go bang. And we'd all be like, someone just fired a shot. And we would be like on high alert, like afraid something's going to happen. Back then it was like, we need to do something. We need to move. We can't live in a country that's this dangerous. You know, we can't live with railings on our windows and be in danger, being afraid that something's going to happen. You got to be thinking that's going to be an outcome someday. When that's going to happen, don't know. And you don't want to go sleep with fear like that. And especially, I think, as a parent as well, you kind of want your kids to succeed. And naturally, you're going to go to a country where, you know, there is possibility for them. They can succeed and they can do what they want to do. And so that was kind of like what caused us to do something. We need to move for our own safety. And I guess for my parents as well, they realized that there wasn't much of a future for us in South Africa. And so we decided to come to New Zealand. So yeah, it's a little bit of a sad story, but it turned out well, because here I am.
So you had a period there really from the time you were in your early teens for the next 10 years before your family ultimately left.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout that 10 years, you've described quite a difficult period. Yep. Where there were sort of implicit threats and overt threats.
Yes.
Where there were attacks on your on the business, and also just an increasing sense of,
yep,
concern within your family about your safety and about your future. So that 10 years, that's a long time for you to be living in that. What were some of the challenges of that time, and what were also some of the ways that you found joy in your community?
It wasn't just us going through this. There was also people in the community as well. How we found joy. I was also homeschooled because it became dangerous for us to go to the closest town. And so being at home as a family, we started to be really involved in the business from a very young age. And so I think that kind of helped us in a way to be involved and be independent. And yeah, we just got distracted. Like, for example, when we started building our house, I'll never forget it because it was such an exciting period of in my life. And those were the distractions that kind of, yeah, there was these things going around us. And I think a lot of people in South Africa at the moment as well, they're growing up in this bubble. Things are happening around them, but it's happening with their growth. And I think that started what happened with us as well. And then all of a sudden that bubble kind of like burst and we realized we need to get out. Yeah, it's difficult to describe, but I think these moments that we kind of like, yeah, just lived and existed as a family.
What was it like when you arrived here in terms of the contrast with the time in South Africa and then the arrival here?
That is very, very interesting because arriving here, I'll never forget the first day, but in terms of living situation, we settled here in Hamilton. And in South Africa, we don't go out. You know, you don't go walking around because you will get attacked. And so when we came to New Zealand, we kind of had that same mindset. I was so afraid of just walking somewhere. And so I would just stay at home, not go out, because I'd be afraid someone's going to come out of the bush and attack us. At that stage, I was like, I love going to the Hamilton Gardens because it's so beautiful, it's so clean, and I just wanted to see it. And I wanted to go there every single day. But I was so afraid walking down a footpath, someone's going to jump out. And that took us a while. Well, for me at least, it took me a while to adjust to that way of living. To adjust that, hey, things are safe here and people will always be on the lookout for you. So things like that was hard to adjust to. Culturally, I think as Afrikaans person, I think we adjusted so well because our cultures are so much alike. Yeah, it was very easy for us to adapt as a family.
So why Hamilton?
Why Hamilton? Like I said, my brother, he lived in Te Awamutu. And so we stayed there for 2 weeks. And then we moved to Hamilton. And I think we moved to Hamilton because it still reminded us of the whole farming community that we are part of. And it was busy for us, but it was manageable. And I think that's why we decided to move to Hamilton, just because it's calm and it's peaceful and it's farming community. It's like, it will take you not even 10 minutes and you're outside of town and you can experience peace. And I think that's why we decided to settle in Hamilton. And then also opportunities as well. I became a student here at Wintec as well back then, and I just saw so much great opportunities here in Hamilton. And I kind of like decided, you know what, no, I want to stay here.
You're listening to The New Wave, a series profiling the diverse people of Kirikiriroa. I'm your host, Kate Prestige, and my guest today is designer and lecturer Aljib van Tonder. Had you studied in South Africa before you came, or had you been focusing on the family business?
No, I did study. I studied to become a teacher, and I think about 3 months before I actually finished my studies, that's when we boarded the plane and came over. So I never qualified. But that was something that I've always wanted to become, like a primary school teacher. But I also really wanted to become a designer as well. And so coming to New Zealand, I was like, you know what, there's opportunity for me here. And so I was like, oh, no, you know what, I'm going to change direction. I want to do something that I really want to do. So, yeah, and now I'm teaching again.
So you've now got the best of both. You've done your design and you're also teaching, but you're teaching tertiary.
Yes, tertiary education, which, yeah, I love.
Tell us a little bit about how your family settled. Did your parents, were they able to find employment, or the ones that were looking, and your younger sibling, or did they do study?
Yes, my younger brother, he also studied. He studied at Wintec. I think he studied architectural design. I think that's what he studied. We studied at the same time. But in terms of my parents, my dad found a job pretty quickly and then got a work permit. Mum got a job as well. She's a preschool teacher, so she got a job as well. And then I wasn't allowed to work because I had to wait for resident visa. If I were to get my own job visa, I had to apply it on my own. So, yeah, I wasn't allowed to work. So I stayed at home and became a housewife, watching Oprah every day. Oh, I remember that. And then, yeah, a year later, we got the visas, and that's when I decided, you know what, I'm just going to start studying. So, yeah, it was just that first year period that was a little bit difficult, but, you know, through every big move, you kind of like have to do it. Yeah.
Sounds difficult, but there is that downtime, isn't there, where you are adjusting.
Yeah.
And the description of being at home and getting sucked into a bit of daytime telly and these sorts of things. Actually, sometimes that adjustment is needed. You were fulfilling a role in your family that was needed at the time.
I mean, this is going to sound terrible, but it's just a situation of South Africa. But it was part of us adjusting to New Zealand living and independent living. In South Africa, because we had this big family business, we had two maids in our house that if I tell my colleagues about it now, they're like, what, you had maids? I'm like, yeah, it's just the nature of things. They weren't slaves. They are maids. They're paid. But anyway, yeah, so they kind of like took care of the house and, helped us day to day. So when we came to New Zealand, obviously mum and dad had to go out working. Younger brother was working as well, and so I had to kind of like take that role as, you know, cleaning the house and taking care of the house, which was a great thing because I taught myself, and I guess this is where my creativity comes in as well, because I taught myself how to cook, you know, bake, and started to make a hobby out of it. I'm so grateful for that. It was frustrating. It was very frustrating because everyone kind of came home with a bit of money and I didn't have anything. I just had to, you know, do the things at home. But I'm so grateful for it now because, yeah, it became like a hobby of mine and I enjoyed doing it as well.
And that challenge that you've described too of effectively being in a service role for your family.
Yeah.
So you're doing all this work to keep the family ticking along and also to keep some of, I guess, the domestic standards that you were used to for the family.
Yeah.
I mean, so you mentioned maids, and I guess that is a big cultural change, isn't it?
Very.
When you come here to New Zealand, for a lot of South Africans coming here where they're used to a standard, I think it's the same for perhaps some of the immigrants who come here from Asia, where they've had support at home as well.
Yeah,
big change.
Big change. But I think it's more people need to experience it because that aspect of life is so easy in South Africa. Yeah, and when you come here, you're like, oh, you know, I need to do it myself. I need to make my bed. Yeah.
Huge change. Do you stay connected to home? Have you still got family back in South Africa?
I have my cousins and my uncle and so on. But close family, we are all here. To stay in touch, because of the time difference, it can be difficult. I hear from my family every now and then, but it's mostly through mum and dad and so on. The internet has made it so much easier for us to connect, and the world has become so much smaller. And so usually you just kind of like stay updated to what is happening at home at the moment. So I know, for example, my cousin, they're building a new house, you know, and I'm seeing the journey that they're going through right now. So even though I'm not directly there, I can see the thing, so I'm updated. So I'm grateful for social media in that aspect. Yeah.
It's a great way to stay connected, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
So, Algie, tell us a little bit about what you're doing now for your work and maybe how you've built a community here.
Yes. So, I'm a tertiary tutor here at WinTech as well. I studied here at WinTech and was a graphic designer for almost 20 years. Yeah. So community-wise, I've traveled up and down the country as well with different jobs that I've had over the years. It was difficult to find a church community here in New Zealand. Especially when I moved back to Hamilton, it was difficult for me. And then one of my colleagues, he invited me to his church. And so the community kind of just formed there. It's interesting because I have a New Zealand community or a Kiwi community, and then I have my South African community as well. And what's really strange is they are so alike but so different in terms of language. So yeah, I have a South African community here as well. This is a funny story. Because my school was so small, in my first grade, you know, when I was like 6 years old, we were only five kids. Three of the kids are in New Zealand. My best friend that I basically knew since I was 5 years old lives about 3 kilometers away from me. And they just moved to New Zealand 5 years ago. And so it is kind of like I picked up and I moved, but it feels like nothing has changed. And that's such a beautiful thing to know that. Yeah, we are still in this world. We are not separated. We are still, you know, we are still here together. And yeah, I'm so grateful for that, to have that here in New Zealand as well.
It sounds like one of the things that you do probably is to support people who are coming,
yep,
who are from the past. Did you have any of that support, your family, when you came?
Yes. Again, I think it's a very South African thing. I remember when we came, we packed up a whole house and a single container. And so we were basically without any of our furniture, nothing for 6 months. But when we came here, there was already South Africans that we kind of like learned and knew about. And so they just supplied beds, mattresses and stuff like that, just so we can survive for the time being. And I guess that's how that community was built as well, by getting to know people. And so now, because people have kind of like shared those things with us, now we have to share with others as well. And so kind of like ripples from that. It's a ripple effect. So yeah, no, definitely we do support people that come over to New Zealand.
What things do you enjoy about living in Hamilton? You've been here nearly half your life. Not quite, but nearly half your life.
Yes.
What are some of the things you enjoy about living here in the Waikato?
I think just it's so central that it's close to everything. You know, you would drive 30 minutes and you'd be at the beach on either end. I guess that is one of the main reasons why I enjoy Hamilton, because it's close to everything. And there's a lot to do in Hamilton if you just go out and look. And I think that's what attracts a lot of South Africans here as well. A lot of the people from where I lived or grew up would never settle in a place like Hamilton. Never. They would often try to find a farm to kind of like settle in. But I think, yeah, that's why we decided to come to Hamilton, because we're like, you know, it's the best of both worlds. We need to experience a little bit more culture. And so, yeah.
And like you said, it is close to rural communities.
Yes.
Being basically a farming service town, mm-hmm, Hamilton, that's how it started.
We lived in South Africa. We had to drive 3 days to get to the beach. So here it's like, you know what, just go down after work and go to Raglan. You know, that's quite fun. I love that.
There's two last questions I want to ask. One is, what would you say to someone who's thinking of making the same journey as you? What have you learned from being a migrant to the city? And what advice would you have for somebody who was perhaps in a similar position?
I mean, it's been so many years that I've kind of like adapted to this way of living. I don't know what people are experiencing when they come over now, but I guess don't be afraid of new things. It's going to be difficult, and don't be scared either. People are there to help you. Trust people. You might come from a country that, you know, had a lot of danger like we had. That's not what you're going to experience here. And build that community, because people are here. People have a genuine love for each other. And I love that about New Zealand.
Looking back, what are you most proud of?
I guess if I look back, the thing that I'm proud of, even though I've experienced difficulties like everyone else, I think I'm proud of those things, those difficulties that have come across my path. As an immigrant as well, you know, the things that I've experienced back home and how I've overcome those things, I'm proud of seeing those things and be like, you know, yeah, I did a good job. I actually overcame that, and I can overcome a lot more with that attitude. So I guess learning from experiences, I guess that's the thing that I'm most proud of. I'm proud of who I became. I'm proud of my culture. I'm proud of my language. That's the thing that I'm probably the most proud of. Currently in South Africa, they don't realize what gem they have in their language. And I've noticed that with the Maori language in New Zealand as well, how it's getting that resurgence. Be proud of that. It is such a treasure to have that you need to really take care of. Yeah. So my first job in New Zealand was, I had to go work at a BB service station. So this is literally, we got our residency and it's a thing that I know. I mean, we had a service station, so it's like, okay, I can just drop in there. So I worked at a BP station in Horsham Downs. And at that stage, I still had a very, very thick South African accent. I probably still do, and people still pick it up. But I remember very clearly, I think it was like my second or third day there. The rule was, if you get a client, you have to ask them if they have an AA card. And so client came up, and I'm in training, and she swiped her card, EFTPOS card, paid. And I said, well, do you have an AA card? And she looked at me funny and she said, can you say that again? I said, do you have an AA card? And she said, I had my haircut yesterday, but thank you for noticing. So needless to say, I kind of like had to change a bit of my accent and get a little bit of that twang. So yeah.
But hey, she would have thought that you were a really thoughtful, lovely young man.
Totally. Yeah, she's like, how did you notice I had a haircut? So yeah, that was one of the things that I'll never forget. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. There's like a little bit of a barrier, but yeah. And still sometimes my students as well, they're like, what did you just say? And I have what they call algeisms. And it's just phrases that we have in South Africa that's like, I love bringing those kind of like gems into my culture, kind of like becomes part of New Zealand culture as well in a way, because my things that I have, it's kind of like influencing other people as well. And I think that's beautiful. I think that's beautiful for immigrants, culture in general. Yeah, I think that's amazing.
So, of course, we now need to know what some of these algeisms are.
Okay, so, there's a few rude ones. So I'm like, oh. sometimes when I'm confused, I would say I'm as confused as vomit in a tumble dryer, which sounds really weird. If you're really lucky, you have your bum and butter. Yeah, you're well settled, basically. So there's some of those. So these like two examples that I can quickly think of. But there's so many more that, it's just like, where did that come from?
These are great. These are like fabulous little similes and metaphors that you're throwing in.
Totally.
You're throwing
like, I mean, Afrikaans in general, it's a very colourful language and we use metaphors a lot. And it's comical as well if you understand it. Swear words, for example, you know, the word for a nut, you know, like a screw nut, that's a swear word that you can't use. Just so colourful, and it has shaped who we are. And I just love that. When I hear that, I'm like, oh, I love that. It's beautiful. I want to bring more of that in.
So he's a wordsmith and he's a designer.
Oh, yes. Love metaphors. That.
Oh, well, Ngā mihi nui, LG, for joining us on The New Wave. We've really, really loved hearing about your story coming here in your early 20s. Yep. With your family to settle in Kirikiriroa. So thanks so much for joining us on The New Wave.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thanks for listening to The New Wave. That was LG's story, featuring designer, lecturer, baker, and occasional housekeeper, LG Van Tonda. The New Wave is a diversity storytelling project by Wintec School of Media Arts researchers Kate Prestige and Paul Nelson. This podcast is made with the support of community access media station Free FM. If you'd like to know more about the project or to get involved, contact the School of Media Arts, Wintec.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.